A Haines Chamber of Commerce marijuana committee considers local regulations, and some Haines nonprofits are in for more borough funding after one turned down about $14,000. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Haines Chamber of Commerce Marijuana Regulation Committee had its second meeting Thursday to discuss what the future might hold for local pot-inclined entrepreneurs. Committee members came up with several potential recommendations that they will present to the Assembly sometime in the new year. One of them could include a temporary moratorium on business licenses in the borough. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
As the state moves closer to fleshing out the rules around marijuana businesses, Haines is slowly catching up. The chamber group didn't decide on any recommendations this week, but they're getting closer. They've narrowed down discussion points to four ideas. The first is to put together a pros and cons list about whether the borough should have a local smoking in public ordinance. The second is whether the municipal government should establish a regulatory authority for taxation and other regulations. The third is about zoning and whether restrictions should exist for pot businesses. And the final point up for discussion is whether the Haynesboro should simply put a temporary freeze on pot business licenses until they figure out the details. Several cities and towns in Alaska have already put the kibosh on pot enterprises.
Now there's the Wasilla, there's Juneau that's set a moratorium. They're not dealing with this for another year. They just refuse.
So they won't issue any licenses or anything?
Right. You know, they're
even
just,
though the state license is going to affect.
Just not doing anything for a year.
That was committee member Stephanie Scott and committee chair Tom Ely. Ely said the number of regulatory hoops, coupled with the cost, between $1,000 and $5,000, depending on the size of the operation, is prohibitive for many.
I mean, it's going to be questionable whether it's worthwhile within our small community for anybody to do that. Nobody I've talked to is, you know, seriously looking into it.
Okay.
You know, people have talked about it and stuff, but...
The group also discussed local taxation. Scott raised the question as to whether or not it would even be worth it financially for the borough to come up with its own regulations, which include tax. Sure, there's a little money to be had in business licenses and a local pot tax if the borough chooses to implement one, but is it worth it?
How much revenue do we really think we're going to recoup? I really think that the finance department has to weigh in on whether or not we want to even get involved as a local government. You know, we don't have to.
Assembly liaison Diana Lapham said while she and the mayor are in support of this potential new business opportunity in Haines, there are many factors at stake.
You know, it was a 63-64% vote. And whether I agree with it or disagree with it, that is the direction I'm getting from the community. So we want to do it right. We want to set it up right. There's a lot of things to consider.
Things like zoning, she said. Should a pot dispensary or edible store be allowed in one place and not another? The answer is ultimately in the hands of the Assembly. Lapham added that while the proposition did pass handily, it's important to consider those who are against legalization because they live here too.
You also have to take into account 64% of the voting public here voted it in. Now, there's another faction that does not want any part of that.
Right.
And by disallowing them any kind of public input, you're doing a disservice for them and for us because we're not getting the whole spectrum.
Ely said at the next meeting on January 14th, the committee will elaborate on these ideas and present final recommendations to the Assembly shortly thereafter. The state will start accepting business license applications in February, and the first ones are slated to go into effect in May. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Haines Animal Rescue Kennel formally declined to accept $14,500 from the borough, which means it will get redistributed to other agencies. The Assembly on Tuesday voted to have the Nonprofit Funding Committee decide who gets what. Also at the meeting, an update on the Sheldon Museum name change and a local business tax incentive program. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
HARC never actually took the more than $14,000 offered by the borough, but the administration needed a formal letter declining the funds for anything more to happen. The money came from the community chest, and it was decided Tuesday that reallocating it will be left up to the committee. In a letter to the borough, HARC Director Tracy Mikowski said while she appreciates the effort, the money would best be used elsewhere. Assemblymember Ron Jackson moved that the money be distributed among the remaining nonprofits instead of sending it back to committee. Diana Lapham responded.
It looks like it may be a real done deal. I would like to have that money come back to us and then have the committee reconvene and we decide on how we're going to do this money at that time. And that's strictly just to follow procedures.
With that $14,500, the remaining organizations would get close to being funded at 90% of what they requested. George Campbell, who participated in the meeting by phone, took the opportunity to remind the assembly that there are many large unfunded projects in the borough.
We still have a sewer treatment plant, we still have a dock, we still have a high school roof and everything else we need to spend money on. But I'd like to see us pull in our horns and spend money on infrastructure that the entire public needs. And I think that's more important than funding more nonprofits.
But the money earmarked for HARC never actually left the community chest, said Borough Finance Officer Gila Stewart. Jackson's motion tied 3-3, with Mayor Jan Hill voting it down. Lapham then moved to have the nonprofit committee appropriate the funds. That motion carried 4-2, with Campbell and Tresham Gregg opposed. The assembly also got some clarification on the Sheldon Museum's name change from Director Helen Alton. The name was changed by the museum board in October. They do not need final approval from the assembly, but the process is on hold until the new year.
But what the board has recognized is that although they had been talking about the name and the problems with the name for many, many years, apparently for decades actually, and almost since the founding of the museum, that now they're realizing that it should have been more of a process with the community.
So the name was officially changed to the Haines Museum, but it could change again. Alton said she hasn't heard much resistance from residents who actually live within Haines, but Assemblymember Mike Case encouraged more public feedback before a new sign or letterhead are ordered.
So I think there was some misunderstandings, and I would hate to see you go through and change that name, which many people in this community like, without looking into it some more. If it's just that relatively small board and they're very dedicated, hardworking people, I think they ought to go out and get more information from the community.
Alton responded that some sort of public forum will happen in the new year to get a better handle on what residents want. After that, the assembly voted to have the Commerce Committee revisit a tax incentive program for local businesses. The idea was broached last year but fizzled out when assembly and committee members were shuffled around and a new mayor elected in the 2014 election. The motion was brought forward by Margaret Friednauer and passed unanimously. The next borough assembly meeting is December 15th. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Alaska Supreme Court today ruled in favor of Petersburg in an annexation dispute with Juneau. Both southeast borough governments made claims to about 1,500 square miles of largely wilderness land between the two communities. Petersburg petitioned the Local Boundary Commission to annex the property in 2011, along with other areas, after a local vote. Juneau followed with a competing claim. The commission ruled Petersburg should be able to annex most of the property. Land around Tracy Arm went to Juneau because it's tied into the capital city's tourism economy. Juneau took the issue to Superior Court, where a judge agreed with Petersburg. Juneau then appealed to the state Supreme Court. Petersburg Mayor Mark Jensen says his borough was ready for today's decision.
We've already spent a couple years since the vote and moving ahead with taxing people outside the service area one and just going through ordinances and changing every ordinance to match the borough government.
The contested land affected by the court decision is mostly uninhabited national forest, so there's limited opportunity for direct income. But borough manager Stephen Giesbrecht says the annexed land boosts state revenue sharing and some federal payments.
You know, if the borough formation would not have happened, our financial situation here in the borough would have been a lot different than it is today. I mean, we're like everybody else. We're having to look for things to cut, but because of the borough formation, we are not having to do it in ways that other communities have done.
Hobart Bay, which includes a tourist attraction, is part of the annexed area. It's owned by Juneau's Gold Belt Urban Native Corporation. Jensen says talks are planned for February. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.